26.
I think you all realize by now that I like to look at the comics in the newspaper. Some call them the funnies, okay? One of them that I clipped here is, remember I'm dealing with the subject of fools. This is Hagar the Horrible. In the first block, there's only two blocks in this one. The first block shows him sitting there just looking sort of spacey. They say early to bed and early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. Then the next block shows him and some friends partying, holding up a bottle and a mug and so on. And he says, but I'll settle for happy. Healthy, wealthy, and wise, but I'll settle for happy. Uh-huh. That's a foolish statement.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And sad to say, that really depicts a lot of people.
No question.
Okay. They'll settle for less. They'll settle for just being happy rather than to be wise. You think wisdom might bring happiness with it? Mm. It certainly would bring contentment and satisfaction and fulfillment. And all of the things that can make a man or a woman happy. But so many people don't want wisdom. A.W. Tozer said the goal in life for the Christian should be holiness, not happiness. And once again, when we find godliness, holiness, it will bring what we typically think of as happiness. It's a matter of priorities and getting things in the proper order. All right, Proverbs chapter 26. The definition of a fool is a person who is destitute of wisdom or understanding. And such often accompanies a person who is wicked. Another way of defining a fool is one that is stupid. Now, not ignorant, because ignorant means without knowledge. Stupid is one without intelligence, lacking in judgment. And when we say lacking in judgment and we speak of a fool, we're not saying that they are mentally incapacitated. No, they may have great mental capacity and abilities. But a fool doesn't use it because they're lacking in judgment. And it's a character matter. The lack of perception would define a fool. And that comes from having a weak character. You see, if a person's character is weak, doesn't matter how much intelligence they have. If a person's character is weak, it doesn't matter how much experience they have. And certainly it doesn't matter how much money they have. Another way of looking at the matter of a fool is that that of being stubborn, okay? Unreasonably stubborn, unyieldingly stubborn. Another word that is used in this respect when you're looking at the matter of a fool is obstinate, which is having an unreasonable persistence in something. An individual who is obstinate is unreasonably gonna persist in either the thing they're arguing about or the thing that they're doing. Now, I know what's going through people's minds. I think it went through mine when I was preparing for this. Unreasonably, unyieldingly, adhering to an opinion or a purpose in spite of reason. Now, look, we're not dealing here with one opinion over another opinion. I have an opinion, let's say, for Fords. You have an opinion for Chevrolets. Okay? And so here we're gonna argue. And I'm gonna just stand my ground for Fords, and somebody's gonna stand their ground for Chevrolet. And that's not what we're talking about when we're saying that a fool adheres to an opinion in spite of reason. As soon as I say stubborn, is there a husband here who hasn't had his wife say you're stubborn? Or is there a wife here who hasn't had the husband say you're stubborn? Again, we're not talking about that sort of thing, okay? That's what I'm going to call just ordinary life, okay? Now, if a person is characterized by their stubbornness, that's another matter. Remember last week I pointed out that there is such a thing as an individual who can be called a fool. And then most everybody at one time or another has done something that's been foolish or said something that's foolish. And the fact that you say something foolish or do something foolish at times, that doesn't make you or qualify you as a fool. If you want to get really technical, I guess you could say, well, in that 5 seconds that you said something foolish, at that 5 seconds, you're a fool. I don't really believe that myself, but I guess if you wanted to argue, we could do that and be obstinate about it too. But you see, a person's, when we talk about stubbornness, it's an irrational stubbornness, okay, that we're talking about here. I mean, there's just no point in even saying anything to a fool because of the way they're going to adhere to their stubbornness. A person's folly may sometimes lie in their being unable to perceive the issues involved. Look at the book of Luke. Keep your place in Proverbs and then turn to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. I'm going to go to verse 37. Luke 11, verse 37. And as he spake, a certain Pharisee besought him to dine with him. And he went in and sat down to meat. And when the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. And the Lord said unto him, Now do ye Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness? Ye fools! Did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? You see, here he called him a fool because he was not able to perceive the issues that were involved in the thing of which he was accusing Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians in verse, or chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 34. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 34. Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. But some men will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. Here again, he's called a fool. Why? Because he is not able to perceive the issues involved in the subject that's being dealt with. And there again, we find that to be characteristic of a person that the Bible would call a fool. Not you who in pressure of the moment or argumentativeness or whatever, you say something foolish or do something foolish. I mean, who hasn't done something foolish? Like when you get upset and you have a hammer in your hand and now you have to repair the window too. Okay? Because in the heat of the moment, you threw the hammer. That was foolish, wasn't it? But, you know, I don't know if that fits into the same category of what we read in Luke and in Corinthians when the Bible says of those individuals that they were a fool. They were not able to perceive the issues involved in what was taking place. Wrong choices can brand a person in this category. Look at Romans. Back up one book to Romans chapter 1 and verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Now here the word foolish is used because it's describing an action of the fool. So it's different from what I've been saying in that you may have a foolish word or a foolish action. Here the word foolish is used because it's defining what the fool has done. And of course they did not want to glorify God. They didn't want anything to do. Wrong choices. Look at Luke. Backing up to the book of Luke, chapter 12. Luke chapter 12 and verse 20. But God said unto him, here's the parable of the rich fool. Verse 20, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? This is the fellow had so much, he got so much more. He said, I'm going to tear down all my barns, make them bigger because I've got so much and I'm going to be getting so much more. And God said, thou fool. Why? Because he was making wrong choices. And so when you see an individual who is constantly making wrong choices, living with the consequences of it, but usually denying that those consequences are because of his own wrong choices, the Bible says that kind of person is a fool. Not just that they had some foolish choices. No, they are constantly making wrong choices and then blaming others for them, won't own up to their own choices, and they blame others. That qualifies in the Bible's definitions as a fool. Folly is the absence of wisdom and a disregard for the true nature of things as they relate to man and God. Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 21. Now this would fit in with the Hagar comic strip, okay?
Proverbs 15:21. Folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom, but a man of understanding walketh uprightly. Folly is joy to him that is destitute. Just no wisdom. No, has absolute disregard for what is the true nature of man and God, and that's in the second part of the verse, where a man of understanding walks uprightly. And so, let's go back to Proverbs chapter 26, and I'll get started on some of these verses. Verse 1, last week we read the whole chapter, if you recall. Verse 1, as snow in summer, well, that's not usual, is it? Once in a while it happens, but not usual. As snow in, never happened around here that I know of, so I don't know where it might have happened. As snow in summer and as rain in harvest, now we're talking about Bible lands, okay, and rain is not typical in the harvest season. You say, how do you know that? The Bible just said.
That's right.
As rain and harvest. That's not normal. So honor is not seemly fitting for a fool. It is out of place to show respect to an ungodly person, a fool, or to raise him or her to a place of dignity. You don't give honor to a fool because they don't know how to handle it. We're going to see that here in some other verses. You don't give honor to a fool. You don't dignify a fool by treating them as if they were something they're not. Now that doesn't mean that you go around being unkind and mean and smart alecky, just because the person's a fool. Treat them kindly. You treat them reasonably. But you don't give honor to them like you would to a person that shows understanding and righteousness. Look at verse 3. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back. What's that getting at? Sharp correction is necessary to control or guide such a person that you can't reason with. So there's just some people you can't reason with them. No matter what you say, they're going to argue. No matter what you do, they're going to take objection to it. There's no getting to a common point of understanding because this person's stubborn. This person is obstinate. He doesn't listen to reason. And so you need to, in order to guide this kind of person, you need what may seem like harsh manner, harsh dealings, okay? Now look at verse 4. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. Don't lower yourself to a fool's level by arguing with a fool. Okay? Don't lower yourself to their level. Answer not a fool according to his folly. You could be sucked into acting or speaking foolishly. You see? Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest you also be like him. Lest you act like he's acting, lest you talk like he's talking, because you're arguing with him, and you get all caught up in the heat of the argument. And he says one thing, and you say another thing, and after a while you realize, Good night. I didn't mean that. He sucked you right into it. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. Now, look at verse 5. This always troubled me. Answer a fool according to his folly. Now, wait a minute. I just read verse 4, and it says, answer not a fool according to his folly. Now, here in verse 5, it says, answer a fool according to his folly. This is one of the places where Bible deniers and skeptics would see the Bible contradicts itself. When I look, if a 74-year-old Pennsylvania Dutchman can understand these two verses, smart people should be able to get it too, all right? Answer a fool according to his folly. Now you have to take the rest of the verse. You don't answer a fool according to his folly, or you could end up getting sucked into acting like he is. Yeah. But here you answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. It means make your answers so plain and clear that a fool can understand it. In other words, direct and blunt. You don't go with insinuations. You don't go with, well, I thought they'd get it. No, they don't get it. They're a fool. And you've got to make it absolutely clear so they can't not get it. If you and I were talking, and because we don't want to be unkind, we may not be blunt with each other. And we may say something that would give the other person some insight to what they're thinking in light of whatever the subject is that we're discussing. And you may walk away and think to yourself, well, you know, he didn't, or she didn't say such, but I know that's what they meant. Right, they were giving an insinuation. And you got the insinuation. Can't do that with a fool. The fool won't get an insinuation. Yeah. The fool's going to say what he wants to say. They're going to hear what they want to hear. And so that's why you answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. Yeah. Lest he be wise in his own conceit. And there's another verse that's going to deal with that matter of conceit. Look at verse 6. Oh, we won't get through all of these. We'll just do 6 yet, and then we'll go to prayer. Verse 6 says, he that sendeth a message by the hand of a fool cutteth off the feet and drinketh damage. What in the world does that mean? He that sendeth a message by the hand of a fool cutteth off the feet and drinketh damage. To entrust a responsibility, a responsible task, to a fool is to rob yourself of it getting done, and definitely of it getting done right. And it will all reflect on you, the one who assigned it. All right, see that? He that sendeth a message by the hand of a fool cutteth off the feet. In other words, the message isn't going to get there. The message isn't going to get across. Why? Because the messenger doesn't have any feet. He can't move now. Only in this case, it's not actual literal feet. It's just the fact that the fool is not going to deliver. He may not even, the message he gives may not sound remotely like the one you told him to give. Why? Because you can't trust him. He that sendeth a message by the hand of a fool cutteth off the feet and drinketh damage. That's the part wherein it's going to reflect back on you. Okay? And then you can say, well, I told him to say thus and such. Well, that isn't what he said. And so, you see, now it reflects on you for entrusting a serious message. This has nothing to do with fools, but it might somehow illustrate it. I don't like to leave important messages on answering machines or voicemail because they can get lost. Or there may be information that the person listening to it, additional things that they need, and they can't ask me because it's not live. So I don't like, you know, if it's really important, I'd rather call back. If I call a home, if I call one of your homes where there's children, and I have a message, again, according to the level of importance, when's mom get home? When's dad gonna be back? I don't wanna entrust the message to them. It isn't that they're not fine children. It isn't that they couldn't get it across. It's just if, you know, I won't talk to the horse's mouth. You know, I'm not calling you a horse, okay? You understand that saying, don't you? I want to talk to you so that I know that you got it. See, now, those are both normal. The mechanical or the age of the person you're talking to, those are both normal situations. But in that kind of way, to give something to a fool to deliver an important message, not smart. Not smart. Okay, now we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 more. So we'll look on them next week, but we'll end there so we have time for prayer. All right, very good.